Welcome to the Israel Daily News Podcast. I'm your host, Shanna Fold, and I'm here to get you caught up quickly. I've got some top news stories for you today from Israel, and guess what? You're listening. So you're already on top of your game. Survive and thrive, people. Knowledge is the best weapon. Today is Thursday, December 21st, 2023 in the Gregorian calendar, and the 9th of Tevet, 5784 in the Hebrew calendar. Today I broadcast to you from Tel Aviv, back at home. Now, let's get to the news. Well, it was a welcome home for me. Gotta give me some news to report on, I guess. Today, Hamas sent a large rocket barrage into central Israel. It targeted Tel Aviv, which broke a 40-hour lull. So there were a couple of days where there were no rockets. I heard multiple booms that were very loud. The Iron Dome missile defense system intercepted those missiles to protect residents. Rockets also came into Israel's north from Hezbollah, a terror organization which operates primarily out of South Syria and Lebanon. A school in Tel Aviv was reportedly hit by shrapnel during this rocket attack. Thankfully, all students were reported safe, having sought refuge in bomb shelters when that air raid siren went off. The aftermath of the attack has left streets strewn with fragments of rockets and their interceptors. A large piece of rocket still in its formation, showing the wings and everything, like a round barrel with the wings at the bottom, kind of just what you would imagine a rocket to look like if you were to draw up a figure of it. Well, all of that came down, and a big chunk of it into Yavne, which is a city just outside of Tel Aviv. Together, there were approximately 30 rockets fired. Today, as I stood at my window in Tel Aviv, I saw a very emotional send-off between a man and a woman, or a man and his wife or girlfriend. The man looked like he was a reserve officer. He looked a little older to me than a 18 or 19-year-old kid. He hugged and kissed her multiple times, long hugs, long kisses, until finally the two had to separate and he got into the car with his gun and drove off. This is life in Israel today. It was very hard to watch, and if it was hard for me, I can only imagine how difficult it was for this couple. Just wanted to share that little bite with you all from what I'm seeing here down on the ground. Hamas has reportedly rejected an Israeli proposal for a 7-day truce in the Gaza Strip, which would have included the release of about 40 hostages, including women, children, and elderly male captives requiring urgent medical care. The rejected deal also involved Israel halting air and ground operations in Gaza for the specified period and also allowing increased aid into the region. However, Hamas, along with another terror organization in the Strip called the Palestinian Islamic Jihad, insisted that Israel must first cease its offensive in Gaza before any discussions on a potential deal. The Islamic Jihad demands the release of all Palestinian prisoners in exchange for the remaining hostages, which is estimated to be around 100 individuals, about 100 remaining hostages. There are also thought to be about 20 bodies in addition to that of hostages that are not alive in Gaza right now being held. Despite the rejection, Egyptian officials view this as a development as part of the ongoing negotiations, suggesting that Hamas aims to get more concessions from Israel and will be back to the table in the future to try to get more. Talks for a ceasefire and hostage release are reportedly in progress, which are being facilitated by Qatar and Egypt, with the U.S. hoping for a resolution. And experts that I've spoken with say that Egypt is a friend of Israel and that we know that Egypt and Israel have had peace for decades, but apparently Egypt is working very well and doing a good job at these negotiations, according to one negotiator that I recently conferred with. There are now nearly 20,000 Palestinians dead in Gaza. That shocking number is almost 1% of the territory's entire population, which is about 2.2 million. The numbers are given out by the Hamas-run Palestinian Health Ministry and do not differentiate between combatants and civilians, which means that we don't know out of those 20,000 how many are Hamas terrorists. We don't know which of these individuals are people that entered Israel and raped and pillaged. We don't know which of these individuals were looters that crossed over the border after Hamas did their initial attack, and then looters from the Palestinian side crossed into the border to take people's appliances like televisions and microwaves. We don't really know, and we also don't really know if these numbers are entirely accurate. Research that I've done shows that people working at the morgues in Gaza have been doing an excellent job at trying to record keep, even while they have lost so many of their employees due to Israeli airstrikes. A very tough situation. I've been thinking a lot about the Palestinians that have been sheltering in tents that have been set up as this region gets some of the season's first rainfalls, which are fairly chilly, and I've seen video of Palestinian civilians just standing and taking cover under these tents and just feeling a lot of difficulty and emotional turbulence within, as I know all of us are experiencing. Overnight between Wednesday and Thursday, Hezbollah launched a rocket salvo targeting Kiryat Shmona and other towns in Israel's north following an Israeli airstrike in Lebanon. The Hezbollah attack caused damage to Israeli infrastructure, homes, and vehicles in Kiryat Shmona, with at least 8 rockets fired and 2 landing in the city. Israel had previously conducted airstrikes in Lebanon, hitting a forest area of about 20 kilometers over the border, targeting Hezbollah sites that were there. Rockets were also fired from Syria down below into the Golan Heights, triggering sirens to go off in northern Israel. If you didn't know, the Golan Heights used to be part of Syria until Israel captured it during the Six-Day War, and the benefit to Israel capturing it was that Syria was no longer able to shoot down into cities using the mountainous terrain of the Golan Heights, although the Golan Heights does extend into Syria now, but more of that territory is now controlled by Israel, making it helpful for Israeli security. The conflict also involved an exchange of fire along the Lebanon border, and there are reports that there was a sniper incident near Kfar Kila. Hezbollah declares one of its fighters was killed in an Israeli strike. The IDF says they are now engaging in new areas, specifically within 2 Gaza City neighborhoods, targeting one of Hamas's last battalions in the northern part of the Gaza Strip. The IDF has indicated they now have operational control over almost all of the North Gaza area, minus these last 2 neighborhoods that they are in. In southern Gaza, IDF Chief of Staff Major General Yaron Finkelman says the military is calling the movement a significant phase of the offensive. The army has also discovered more of the Hamas tunnel network, this time beneath Palestine Square in Gaza City. The army's spokesperson said, quote, senior Hamas members managed the fighting on October 7th from this area. He also said during a press conference, quote, from this infrastructure, they were able to spread across Gaza. From the heart of Gaza City, senior Hamas officials were able to reach Shifa Hospital, leave there in an ambulance to travel south, and return to Shifa Hospital, enter the tunnel network, and then go north to Rantisi Hospital, end quote. On Wednesday and Thursday, the IDF announced the deaths of 5 soldiers who were killed during the fighting, raising the number of troops who've died since this ground operation in Gaza to 137. That's 137 soldiers, both in the army and the reserve unit of the army, dead. May their families and friends somehow find peace. I want to thank all of you for your interest in Israeli affairs, Israeli politics, our world politics, I also want to thank all of you who personally finance and fund the Israel Daily News Podcast with monthly contributions. You can support us by going over to anchor.fm/Israel Daily News. You can contribute monthly, whatever feels good to you. You can also make a one-time contribution if that is better suited to you for the special wartime coverage, which I'm taking very seriously. You can look up gofundme.com/Shanna Fold or just Google GoFundMe and Shanna Fold. You'll find it right away. Listener support is literally what keeps me coming back to the recording chair. Thank you so much for the latest subscribers and the latest contributors. I mentioned them in my last show. If you have heard your name, or you are a donor, or you are an anonymous donor, send me an email with your mailing address at shannafold@gmail.com, and I will be able to send you a handwritten note to show my appreciation. I just sent out a handful of those yesterday, and I'll be sending out the next batch once I get all of your information. I don't have your home address, even if you signed up with a credit card, so make sure that you get those details to me. And now, as we enter the end of the week, I have a Torah thought for you from Rabbi Yossi Madvig of Oswego, New York.
This Friday is Asara B'Tevet, the 10th of the month of Tevet, which is a fast day on the Jewish calendar. And it commemorates in the year 3336 from creation, or roughly 425 BCE, the armies of the emperor Nebuchadnezzar, who was the emperor of Babylon, laid siege to Jerusalem. And 30 months later, on the 9th of Tammuz, the walls of Jerusalem were breached. And 1 month later, on the 9th of Av, Tisha B'Av, the Holy Temple was destroyed. And it's a day of fasting and mourning and repentance. We don't drink or eat anything from daybreak until nightfall. We ask God for forgiveness, and it's a very rare fast because it's the only fast that can fall out on a Friday. The way the calendar is set up, no fast day can fall out on a Friday because we don't want to go into Shabbat in pain and hungry and oppressed, as it were, from our hunger. But this is a very special fast day commemorating the destruction of the very first Holy Temple in Jerusalem. Now, the Talmud relates that the second temple was destroyed because of sinat chinam, baseless hatred. And so therefore we can learn from that the way to rebuild the Holy Temple, to get it back, and to have the redemption is through avat chinam, which is baseless love, the opposite of baseless hatred. And so how can we do that? One way is that in order to truly repent of our sins, we have to get rid of our own ego. Every time we mention the I, the self, and we give that such importance, it becomes a source of evil, and it creates divisiveness between each other. When a person's ego expands so much, it becomes a source of evil because it shifts your attention away from what God wants of you and focuses only on your own needs and desires. And once the dominant feature is what your own needs and desires are, so then it's a very thin line to just transgressing God's will altogether. Likewise, this kind of self-centeredness creates a lot of division between your heart and another person's heart. Because that kind of a person can only relate to another person, even your own spouse, to the extent that they fit into your schemes, into your ideas. There's no way that a person can genuinely love another person and relate to that person as they are without going beyond your own individual desires and needs and wants. So we should be able to put aside our own needs for the needs and desires of our fellow man. And with that will come the redemption of the entire world. Shabbat Shalom.
I loved that Torah thought. I love when the rabbi brings us into the self-evaluation and self-improvement phase. I think it's so important. I myself, I'm always wondering how I can self-improve and what I should be doing and where I should be focusing my mind. And I think that it's great when you have this spiritual guidance from somebody to help direct your thoughts and have that guidance that you might not have just all on your own. So I hope you all enjoyed that as well. All right. Well, that is it for today's show. Today is Thursday, December 21st, 2023. Tel Aviv has a low of 17 degrees Celsius and a high of 22 degrees. That's 62 degrees Fahrenheit for the low, going up to 72 degrees for the high. Subscribe to the Israel Daily News Podcast on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you're hearing it from. We are everywhere. Don't forget to sign up to our Israel Weekly News Wrap. The Israel Weekly News Wrap is a newsletter with the top five stories coming out of Israel from throughout the week. And of course, I add in a personal note from me at the top. You can sign up for that at israeldaily.news. A big thank you goes out to our social media director, Michelle Milner. She just put together for us an awesome video package of Rob, the barbecue guy. We had great footage of him serving the IDF troops, and she put together, using the audio from the podcast, a beautiful video clip. I really recommend everyone go over to the Instagram page, israeldaily.news, and check out that clip of Rob, the barbecue king, serving up barbecue to our troops. I think you'll get a kick out of that. I'm going to send you off with a song called Haritonov Nigun by Yanir Kalinsky. He's a musician from Argentina. He basically plays every instrument under the sun. He now calls Israel home. He lives here in Jerusalem with his wife and kids. Enjoy this piece of art and have a great and productive day and an excellent weekend. Shabbat Shalom, everyone.